Welcome to the Afternoon Jams. We are live on Facebook right now at the moment. And our first guest for today, Big Rob, you there? You good, brother?
Yes, sir.
Good. Our first guest today is running for judge here in Muskegon County. We have attorney Joshua Elder Brady. And Joshua, I don't want to mess up that last name you got, man. What? How do you pronounce that?
Amrine.
Joshua Elder Brady Amrine. What made you change your last name?
Multiple family names. Wanted to hyphenate based on, you know, getting past the tradition of the man's name is what counts in the situation. So there we are.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. What we had you at the forum. You did very well at the forum at Christ Temple back in early spring. What made you decide to run for judge?
Well, I suppose I should ask, do you want short answers or do you want the long answer when it's a long answer?
Give me what you feel is best, man.
Right.
I had the somewhat unique background, although I know our now retired Judge Hicks had some of the same, of having worked in education prior to having come in to do legal work. Worked short and long-term substitute teaching through law school and for a few years after when the economy was where it was back in 08, 09. And one of the things you learn when you work with kids is that kids are more complicated than what the law is when it comes to family law. One of the things you learn when you see some of those same students then come through the court system, unfortunately, is that, well, we change a lot when we grow up. There's also a lot of us that doesn't change. And adults are more complicated than the law too. People are complicated. And I would, for any Breaking Bad fans out there, you know, Mike, one of my favorite characters on that whole franchise, talked about, you know, he knew criminals who were good people and he knew bad people who weren't criminals, that they're not the same thing. And when we deal with the legal system, having come from that background in education, having worked in family law and having worked representing largely indigent court-appointed defendants through the public defender's office for the criminal defense work I've done, one of the things that I've learned is that it's really important to know the difference. Yeah, everyone who comes through the criminal justice system is coming through because it's alleged that they did something that's criminal, but it's not as simple as bad people and good people. And the court system and the people who work in the court system, if we're really going to have justice, needs to listen to what's going on. They need to listen to who is in front of the court. And they need to understand that when we get truly bad people, that's a different situation. That's a different thing that we have to deal with. That's different steps to justice than when we get people who just are normal, everyday people, people who are good people but find themselves in trouble with the law. Whether it be in family court or in the criminal system, people who are in places where they're hurting, where they're broken, and the difference between the court listening and paying attention to that fact and not listening and not paying attention to that fact may be the difference of whether they get through what they're dealing with in their life and move past it and grow through it, or whether they wind up going down a not so good path and coming back as one of those people who are in a bad place and are doing truly bad things and create more challenges both for the court system and for everyone else. So I think it's really important that we have judges on the bench who pay attention to people, who listen, and who try to find, yes, number one is the job of a judge is to follow the law, but you also have to seek justice and find that humanity in people and as much as possible help them find avenues while they're doing their penance, while they're doing their service to society, help them find avenues that are going to help them not be back in the same place in the future.
And so you're saying you would be more more compassionate, more understanding.
I think my life experience has put me in a place where I can do that well, yes.
Right. Who is, I know we interviewed you before, who is Joshua Elder Brady? I know you ran for prosecutor as a Republican, I think, the last election. But I believe you're a Democrat. So who is Joshua Elder Brady? And talk about that. What made you run for prosecutor as a Republican?
I got to be careful on that because this is a nonpartisan position and I'm not supposed to endorse anything party-wise one way or the other as a judicial candidate.
Okay.
The unfortunate reality is our two-party system divides everybody into one end or the other. And the simple reality is, like most people, I'm not one end or the other. There's positions where I think both parties have better places than what the other one does. And the reality is that means where I wind up falling on the spectrum is going to be determined by the time and the place and the details of the position. Obviously, we have a Democratic prosecutor in Muskegon County, so you have to make the choice. Do you challenge him in the primary or do you challenge him in the general election? One of my biggest concerns in looking at that position was we do have some fairly severe issues with violent crime problems in Muskegon County, including there were three cases that I was able to identify just in the last, it would have been the last 6 years as of 2 years ago, so it would be the last 8 years now, where an individual who had assaulted another individual who had committed a violent crime, usually involving a weapon against someone else, was offered a plea deal, served less time because charges were dismissed against them, and then within 2 years of getting out of serving that time, during a time period that they would have still been in prison had they not been offered the plea deal and been convicted, took the life of another Muskegon County resident. So to me, the issue that I saw in the prosecutor's race was that when it comes to that violent assaultive crime, so like I said, it's very important to understand the distinction between someone who has an addiction problem and is in court because they had a substance they're not supposed to, and someone who tried to hurt or kill another person. Those are very different situations. And I believe the issue that needed to be addressed that I think could be done better in the prosecutor's office had to do with being much stricter on those violent criminal prosecutions and making that assessment with where things were in party positions. That was the more logical place to run.
Right. Joshua Elder Brady's live with us. He's running for judge. Primaries is coming up in a couple weeks. Big Rob, you got a question for attorney Elder Brady?
Yes. What are your thoughts on the gun law changes that are coming up for a vote? What are your thoughts on that? Raising the minimum age, things of that nature.
Again, I would note I'm a candidate for a judicial position. If elected, my job is to follow the law as it is written, not to create the law. As far as personal opinions, you know, I take a step back and say a lot of what I think we need to see in the law is consistency. So I know that came up a few years ago when we were addressing marijuana issues. Consistency, how do we treat it as compared to alcohol? And I think some of that same logic can be applied to this situation. We as a society, we've looked at the developmental science, we've looked at the brain science. We've said that until 21, you're not mature enough that we want to allow you to drink alcohol. Until 21, you're not mature enough that we want to allow you to smoke marijuana. Until you're 21, you're not mature enough that we want to allow you to make the decision to smoke cigarettes to get potentially addicted to tobacco. And I think it's a very logical thing given incredible destructive power that comes with the incredible utility of firearms, it seems to me to be entirely logical that we would apply that same standard to firearms. But ultimately, that's a decision that the legislature is going to have to make.
As a judge, in the position of a judge, you can change people's lives for the good or the bad. But either way, you can change people's lives. What things do you think as a judge needs to be changed to give you guys that leverage?
You're saying what needs to be changed in the support system to give the judges on the bench the power to do more good?
Yes.
We have had consistent reoccurring problems in Muskegon County with capacity in sobriety court, with capacity in mental health court. I haven't dealt with veterans court as much. I don't think it has as big a capacity problems, but it may have. All of those programs are programs that help address problems that people are struggling with. And I've said part of working as a defense attorney, people ask the questions of, well, how can you represent those people? Or how can you represent people who do that? Well, the reality is the truly bad eggs, the serial killers, that type are a very small percentage of what we deal with. And one of the things that you learn when dealing with the criminal court system, and I believe a lot of the same is true with family court. Again, my practice the last few years is focused on the criminal court, so I'm more familiar with the numbers there, is that unaddressed trauma, unaddressed mental health issues that go with it, and unaddressed substance abuse issues. And if you talk to individuals in mental health services, they'll tell you substance abuse and trauma go hand in hand, are something that I would say the majority of the individuals facing criminal charges are struggling with. Now, depending on what type of criminal charges and how we break down those groups. In some groups, it might be 80 or 90%. But overall, it's a huge part of what brings people into the criminal justice system. So we certainly need more capacity in those programs. We need more resources for the individuals administering those programs, the caseworkers working with individuals, probation officers, as far as helping probationers secure solid employment and solid housing. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen the situation that somebody comes into our criminal justice system because of an addiction problem, and we get them out in a situation where they're able to get treatment, they're able to get services, go to counseling. And they're clean for a while, and then their employment falls through or their housing falls through, and they move back in with somebody else who's still using. And that's not a place where people stay on the wagon. So the more resources we have there, the court can't make anybody decide that they're going to deal with their substance abuse issues. The court can't make anybody make that decision. But we can help give a push. We can facilitate that. We can say, you've decided that you want to deal with this, so we're going to let you be out in the community dealing with it rather than sitting in jail because we want you to deal with it. So the more resources we can give to all of the support staff in those specialty court programs, in the probation department, in community mental health, CMH is a big part of it. The more resources we can give people there, the more of those individuals are going to be able to succeed. And the fewer of them are going to come back and run through the court system again.
Attorney Joshua Elder Brady on the radio with us. Tell me this, Attorney Elder Brady. Have Muskegon County court system been fair to African Americans?
I think you know the answer to that probably better than I do.
I just want to hear your opinion. I just want to hear from a person that's seeking that office.
We have a huge problem. And on the defense side, it's a difficult situation because we're not just talking about the court itself. We're not just talking about court staff. The right to a jury trial being one of the cornerstones of our legal systems and rights of accused. But the unfortunate reality is, number one, jurors bring in their own prejudices. And number two, our system for selecting jurors is woefully deficient. And we've got a couple different things that are easy to identify, but unfortunately, they're not as simple to fix as I would like to see, but there are certainly things that can be done about them. Number one, we call our jury pool based on current state ID. So low-income individuals who disproportionately minorities tend to be in the low-income groups are less likely to have a current valid state ID, so they're less likely to get called for a jury. The next step is the jury clerk mails out jury service notices. If those get returned because the person has moved since the beginning of the year, that person again doesn't get called for jury service. So again, low-income individuals, individuals with less housing stability, are less likely to be called for jury service. That's before we even get to any of the whether an employer causes a problem that someone has to request to be off jury duty. So right off the bat, we have a jury that is disproportionately middle and upper class simply because what we use to call jurors disproportionately calls middle and upper class, which means it is also statistically disproportionately white. And then we have a wonderful court rule in Michigan that says that the prosecutor can dismiss from the jury for cause automatically. That means it doesn't count among their however many jurors they get to dismiss without cause. They can dismiss anyone who has ever been charged with any offense in the state of Michigan ever. That could be as minor as a traffic ticket. That could be as major as a felony. Now, in practice, in Muskegon County, our prosecutor only dismisses jurors who've been charged by Muskegon County. But technically, that rule applies to the entire state. But again, when we have a prosecutor who, when the prosecutor dismisses everyone who's ever been charged with an offense in Muskegon County, again, we know well the science is very well established as far as there being heavier policing in low-income neighborhoods, there being heavier policing in minority neighborhoods, and heavier policing leads to more charges. And when we're seating a jury and I see a juror excused because they were charged with a DUI 20 years ago, and the juror says, yeah, I totally deserved it, the prosecutor treated me fairly, etc., but they get dismissed anyway. So again, we have a step there that due to that rule and due to the heavier policing in minority neighborhoods, again, results in a disproportionately upper and middle class white jury pool. And no matter how good a job we can do as court staff of making sure that we're neutral and fair and weed out prejudice, jurors bring their prejudice with them, and that is always going to be an issue that we have to struggle with.
But One last question.
Go ahead.
Before we go, how can people connect with your campaign? How can they join you if they believe in Joshua Elder Brady, Aaron?
Online, primarily on Facebook, Joshua for Judge. I've got campaign signs available. Message me on Facebook. Call me at my, am I allowed to say my phone number on there?
Sure. Whatever you want to put out there. Yeah, definitely.
231-220-4702. Call or text me if you want to help out or have a place for a sign. Just shoot me an address and I'll drop one off.
And it's joshuaforjudge.com. Is Joshua F-O-R or Joshua the number four?
Joshua for Judge on Facebook, not .com.
Okay.
F-O-R.
Are there any upcoming debates?
I had heard that there was one being scheduled, I thought next week, but I haven't heard anything further, any confirmation on it.
Okay. What, Rob, did you have anything before we go?
No.
Joshua, is there anything else, Attorney Elder Brady, that you want to say to Muskegon?
I just want to encourage everyone to come out and vote on the 2nd. We have 2 open judicial seats, so you've got 2 different groups of candidates you have to choose from. Judge Marietti's seat, we've got 4 new people running. The seat that I'm running for, there's 3 of us as new candidates, and of course, as you were aware, well, probate Judge Pittman is trying to move from the probate court over to the circuit court. So read up on everybody, make your decision about who you want the new person to be. We know once somebody gets in office as a judge, they usually stay. So it makes it extra important when we have an open seat that everybody do their due diligence and vote both in August and November.
There you go, man. Thank you for being available. And we're going to be doing election coverage, so I'm sure we'll be reaching out to you.
You're welcome, election. and thank you for having me.
Well, no doubt. That's what we do, Joshua Elder Brady. Take care, man. Have a good day.
You as well. Thank you.